خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك. كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله. صدق الله العظيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. My dear brothers and respected elders, we begin in the name of Allah and we thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him because Allah deserves to be glorified. And we ask Allah to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Send His mercy not only for us but for the whole of Allah's creation. And we ask Allah to forgive our sins and to grant us a refuge from all the evil and fitan which surround us and which lie within us. And for Allah to keep us on Islam as long as we live. And when our time comes to leave this world, may Allah take us away on Iman. And on the day of Qiyamah, raise us in the Ummah of His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear brothers, in this blessed month of Rajab, and Rajab is one of those months which has been blessed since the beginning of time. Some people think some months are months of sorrow and weeping. That is not the case. Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allah hithna ashara shahran fi kitabillahi yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard minha arba'atun hurum. Ever since Allah created the creation and made the heavens and the earth, Allah divided time into 12 months and decided that from those 12 months, 4 will be months of reverence and respect. And they are Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hajjah and Muharram. Three come together and one is separate, and that is Rajab. So we are presently in the month of Rajab, and when Rajab used to set in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make a dua which the Imam Sahib also made, and which is the Prophet used to say, "Oh Allah, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban," put barakah in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban for us and lead us to Ramadan. Ramadan is a very special time. And it's Ramadan is a month which Allah celebrates and orders its celebration in the heavens every year. Many people celebrate their birthdays, some people celebrate their independence days and other events. Allah celebrates the month of Ramadan every year. When we make celebrations, we
usually decorate our houses and have a party. Allah also orders the angels to decorate Jannah. And to when Ramadan sets in, then the gates of Jannah are opened, the gates of Jahannam are closed, and the shayateen are tied up. So in the month of Ramadan, there are celebrations in the heavens. And it's a very special month. And to come so close, just 1 month between Rajab and Ramadan, which is Shaban, to come so close, and then if Allah was to take anyone away, you know, it would be sad in their case that they came so close to a blessed opportunity, but yet they missed out. So if Allah brings us to Rajab, then we should all pray that Allah bless this month for us and lead us into the month of Ramadan. Anyone who dies in Ramadan, because the gates of Jahannam are closed, so he can't go in there. So there's only one other place he will be going, and hopefully that's Jannah. So when our time comes, we don't know when we are going to die, but if Allah was to take us away in Ramadan, then it will be an honor for us, and it will be a mercy of Allah. Anyway, in this month of Rajab, a special event occurred in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everything to do with Rasulullah was special, was extraordinary, was wonderful, was blessed. But in this month of Rajab, there is a special night. Special night in the sense that something special happened in that night. Something extraordinary, something miraculous, something unique and special. Which it doesn't happen very often. And in fact, since the beginning of time, it has happened only once. That the Prophet ﷺ was taken to the heavens. No one before Rasulullah has ever been taken to the heavens in a manner that Rasulullah was. One other person, or rather two people, were taken to the heavens. One was put to the heaven, one was taken to heavens and admitted there and allowed to live there, but then was given a condition that this is not something you ought to do. You can go everywhere, eat everything, anything you want, but don't go near this tree. And that was our grandfather, our father Adam alayhi salam. We are all Bani Adam, we are all children of Adam. Adam alayhi salam was created by Allah, put in the heavens, and then given permission by Allah, you can go anywhere, you don't need visa, you don't need travel documents, just go anywhere and do whatever, eat from anywhere, everything is halal in Jannah. Not HMC, but it's all halal. And there's no need to look for an HMC certificate in Jannah. Everything was halal for Adam alayhi salam. وَكُلَ مِنَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Whatever you want to eat, no problem. كُلُّ halal. And but وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ. There was one tree or one fruit which Adam alayhi salam wasn't supposed to eat. He ate, and then we all know what happened. Then Adam alayhi salam came down to heaven, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said Musa alayhi salam met up with Adam alayhi salam somewhere in the heavens and said to Adam alayhi salam, "Oh Adam, are you the same Adam Allah put in Jannah?" And then Allah gave you everything, permission to go anywhere, and just said, "Don't eat from one tree," and you had to eat from that one tree. And look at the mess you got us in. And Adam alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salam, "Are you the same Musa Allah gave Torah?" He said, "Yes, I am." He goes, "Well, did you not, and how many years before giving you did Allah write Torah?" He said, 40,000 years. "And did you not read in that Torah, wa asa Adam rabbahu faghawa, that Adam did what he did?" He said, "Yes, I did." So he said, "How can you blame me for something which was predestined and written even before I was made?" So they say father is father. Musa alayhi salam was son, Adam alayhi salam was father, so father is father. So Adam alayhi salam got the better of Musa alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was put into Jannah, but then he had to come down. There was another man, he was born here, lived here, but then was given the opportunity to go up and stay up. Adam alayhi salam was put there, had to come down, then stay down. Then there was a man, he was born here, he lived here, but then was taken up and then allowed to stay there. You know who that is? Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. We believe Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is our Aqeedah. Isa alayhi salam is alive. He is alive in the heavens. Allah raised him. He wasn't put on the cross. People wanted to put him on the cross, but Allah saved him, then raised him in the heavens and has kept him alive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Isa lam yamut." Isa hasn't died. "Wa innahu nazilun ilaykum qabla yawmil qiyamah." And before the end of time, he will come down to you. And there are some people, they call themselves Muslims, but they are not Muslims. They call themselves Muslims. They believe in someone who thinks he was a prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, there will be people who will think, "Kulluhum yaz'amu annahu nabi." They will all think they are Nabis. There will be 30 of them. Liars, imposters, cheats, fraudsters. Now, fraud is a big crime, you know.
And he's a fraudster. He tried to label himself, promote himself to the post of Nubuwwat. But the Prophet said, be warned. They are all liars. They will think they are Nabis, but they are not. You know who I'm talking about? Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. Lanatullahi alayhi. When we speak about real prophets, we say alayhi salatu wassalam. Isa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Mirza lanatullahi alayhi. So when you talk about the Mirza, you don't say, but in the Qadiani, they must Hazrat Masih Ba'ud alayhi salam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He was Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, lanatullahi alayhi. And he said, Isa is dead. He said, Isa was put on the cross in Auzubillah, and people thought he was dead. But when he was brought down, a little bit of life still in him. And so did some resuscitation, and they did give him special treatment, intensive care, herbal medicines. Kushte khila karna, unko mashallah sehat mand kar diya. And they gave him a lot of kushtas, herbal medicines. And Isa alayhi salam, now he recovered, became strong again. Then he escaped quietly to Kashmir. And on route, he passed through Afghanistan. And in Afghanistan, there's a tribe. They are called Isakheli. And they say, see, that tribe is named after Isa alayhi salam, na'uzubillah. And then he proceeded to Kashmir, and he died there, and he's buried in Srinagar. At the age of 120. That's not what the Prophet said. That's not what the Quran says. The Quran says, بَرَّفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. He was taken alive to the heavens, and before the end of time, he will come back. And the Prophet ﷺ met Isa ﷺ initially in Baitul Maqdis in the night of Miraj, and then the Prophet also met him again in the heavens, in the second heaven. So the Prophet ﷺ saw him in the heavens, and he's alive, and he will come back. And so Adam ﷺ was put there, had to come down. Isa ﷺ was born here and had to go up, and is presently up there. And then Prophet ﷺ, and incidentally, Christians also believe that Jesus rose to the heavens, but they have a slightly different belief. They believe Jesus died on the cross, then he was brought down, he died on the cross, they say. Qadianis say he was put on the cross, but he didn't die. He was brought down when he was almost dead. He recovered, then he escaped to Kashmir and died there. Christians, they say, he was put on the cross and he died on the cross for their sins. He was brought down, he was put into a tomb, he was buried, from where he became alive. He was buried supposedly on Friday. This is why on Easter they celebrate Good Friday. Because for them that Friday is good. For us every Friday is good. And for them only one Good Friday. And because he's supposed to have died on that Friday, been buried, and then brought down and be buried in the tomb, and then risen on a Sunday morning. And then he appeared in front of some of his disciples, and after a few days, he rose up to the heavens to sit on the right side of God. They believe in the ascension after death. We believe in ascension before death. Qadianis don't believe in any ascension. They say, no man can go up. Because in the heavens, there are certain sectors. There are certain places where it's very difficult. Some places are very hot, cold front, very hot front, and nobody can cross those fronts. Anybody who tries to, they will die, they will be burnt. So Isa could not go up. But Allah has made it clear in the Quran. Inna mathala Isa inda Allahi ka mathali Adam. When Adam alayhi salam came down, he came down from all those fronts. So if Adam can come down, Isa can surely go up. It's not, there's no one-way street in the heavens. There's one-way streets in this world, one-way systems. But Jibreel comes up and down many times a day. There's a motorway, one way coming, one way going. So Jibreel comes down one way and goes up the same way, perhaps. So the same way Adam alayhi salam came down, Isa alayhi salam went up. And if Isa alayhi salam can go up, then Rasulullah can definitely go up. For many a people, it's a big problem. They say, no, the Prophet didn't go to heaven. Many people think this was just a spiritual experience. If it was a spiritual experience, then there's no big deal about a spiritual experience. Spiritual experiences can happen to anybody, anytime. It can happen to us. Many people, they go to, mashallah, they've seen, many a people have seen dreams. They were in Jannat, mashallah. They were in the heavens and having a wonderful time in heaven. And so if
If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just to have a spiritual experience, in other words, a dream, then it wouldn't have been a big deal. Many Sahaba had such spiritual experiences. Many pious people, many people even now can have dreams, mashallah. And the Prophet said that لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ. Nubuwwah has come to an end, but good dreams will continue. People will continue seeing good dreams, mashallah. Many people see Rasulullah in their dreams. Many people see they are in Hajj, mashallah. Many people see dreams, they're in Jannah, having a nice, wonderful time in Jannah. When they wake up in the morning, they're still down here. And mashallah. So dreams are very nice things, but dreams are no special. If it was just a spiritual or just a vision to Rasulullah, it wouldn't have been mentioned with so much stress and people wouldn't have taught it and talked about it so much. But many people, for them this is a big problem, to acknowledge the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever went up. And we don't just believe that the Prophet went up. Allah doesn't say that the Prophet went up. Allah says, glorious is he, subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Glorious is he who took his servant. So for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just that he one day he felt like going to the heaven, so he decided, let me make an aeroplane or something, or buy a flying horse and let me see if I can go up. No, Allah made arrangements. Like when you invite someone to your house, sometimes you say, brother, come down, and then he makes his own arrangements to come to your house for a dinner, for tea, whatever. Sometimes people, what they do, they send them a ticket as well. Then they send a car or a chauffeur to go and pick someone up. The Prophet didn't one day feel like going to the heavens. Allah sent Jibreel with a heavenly ride, with a special plane, flying horse, to come and pick up Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet didn't know it was going to happen. He was just resting in the house of Umm Hani one day. And you see, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from here we understand Tawheed as well. Only Allah knows what's to happen tomorrow or in the next moment. You know, if somebody... Because this journey, it didn't take place during the day. It took place at night. In our world, in our times, we regard days to be crucial because we work during the days. And people historically, for hundreds and thousands of years, ever since the beginning of humanity, until about 1970, when we came to this country in the 1970s, believe you me, 5:30, everything used to be dead. All the streets, I don't know if anybody's come to this country in the 1970s. If anybody here, raise your hand. 1970s, their brother, he'll tell you, 1970s, 5:30, everything used to be dead. Wednesday afternoon used to be half day. Sunday, everything was taut. You'd hardly see a car drive by on a Sunday in the 1970s. And 5:30, strictly everything was dead. There was no 24-hour Tesco's. And strictly everything... There used to be corner shops, and even the corner shops used to close by 5:30. 6 o'clock if you were lucky. And Sunday everything was dead. And mashallah, but now it's around the clock. So people used to work, they used to travel, they used to farm, they used to do whatever. And during the day, used to get out and about. At night, people rest. But only those rest, those who want to rest. And those who want to make the most of their night and achieve something special, they make the most of their nights. Those who want to seek nearness to Allah, Allah says, "Kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yahjaroon." They sleep very little at night. Other people, they get out and about, feeling high, drinking, boozing, buzzing. Allahu Akbar. They want to enjoy their life here, so that's what they do. Usually, nightclubs. Have you seen any day clubs? They call them nightclubs and pubs. Similarly, mashallah, those who want nearness to Allah, when other people are asleep, and many people sleep like rocks, you can beat drums, and they won't budge, not even at Fajr time. Allah, and those who don't budge at Fajr time, you know what happens to them? The Prophet said, "Kannahu bala shaytanu fi udhunay." Shaytan gets out and he uses their ears, and then, you know what I mean? That's where he does his wee wee. In the ears of people who don't get up for Fajr. And we don't make a point. And just mashallah. And they put the alarm on, but especially on a Sunday, shaitan comes. Relax, man. It's Sunday. Take it easy. I'll pray later. Astaghfirullah. And so they know they've got a big problem with shaitan. Real friendship with shaitan. Rather, he takes them for a ride and makes a fool out of them. Allahu Akbar. But the pious people, they stay awake at night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah had commanded right from the beginning, Ya ayyuhal muzammil qumil layl. Don't spend don't let your nights pass just resting. Stand, do something, come and talk to me. Many years ago, T-Mobile, some brothers have T-Mobile phones, some have Orange. For them, everything is Orange. For some, it's T-Mobile. T-Mobile, many years, used to be called one-to-one. I don't know if the brothers remember, used to be called one-to-one. So at night time, Rasulullah used to have a one-to-one with Allah and talking through Allah, reciting Quran, praying, weeping, praying for the hidayat and guidance of the humanity and so on. So the Prophet ﷺ used to sleep very little, especially at and at night he would recite Quran. So one day, or one night rather, the Prophet ﷺ that night he fell asleep. If somebody has got a special engagement at night, ek to ye na ki waise agle din koi zaruri kaam ho. If somebody is getting married, going on a special journey, got a special function the following day, many people can't sleep at night. But if something's to happen in the middle of the night, then there's no chance they sleep. If somebody was getting married at 12 o'clock at night, you think he'll sleep after Isha? So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nobody loves anyone more than what a Prophet loves Allah, and especially Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, true believers love Allah profusely, the love Rasulullah had for Allah, no parallel. So if Rasulullah had known he was going to go to the heavenly journey, would he have fallen asleep? No, Rasulullah would have been waiting, Jibreel. There were no watches either in those days. He would have been looking up, where is Jibreel? Why isn't he coming? Now he would have been anxious. But Rasulullah that night fell asleep. And he said, Jibreel came to woke me, to wake me up. So it shows if Rasulullah would have known he was going to go to the heavens, he wouldn't. So it shows Rasulullah wasn't expecting this to happen. What's to happen tomorrow, next moment, next week, next month is only within the knowledge of Allah. Only Allah is Alimul Ghaib. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah blessed him with more knowledge than anybody else in this world. But total knowledge is only with Allah. Many people believe Rasulullah was Alimul Ghaib as well. But Rasulullah never made that claim. And Miraj also teaches us that Rasulullah wasn't Alimul Ghaib. If Rasulullah would have been Alimul Ghaib, he would have been waiting for Jibreel. And in fact, some people believe Rasulullah is present everywhere. If Rasulullah would have been present everywhere, would he have been needed to be taken from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa? If Rasulullah is already in Masjid al-Aqsa, does he need to be taken there? No. So it shows Rasulullah was not Hazir Nazir either. Agar Hazur Hazir Nazir hote, to phir wahan jane ki zarurat padti? Wahan jane ki zarurat hi na padti? So just the fact that the Prophet was taken to Masjid al-Aqsa, it shows Rasulullah wasn't Alimul Ghaib, neither was he Hazir Nazir. Only Allah is Alimul Ghaib. Only Allah can see everything, and Allah sees everywhere, and Allah is with people. Allah says in the Quran, Huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. Wherever you are, Allah is with you. Allah is closer to you than you jaggila vain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't go everywhere all the time. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Allah sent Jibreel, go and pick up my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take a flying horse from Jannat. Jibreel did, and he brought a very special horse. And Allahu Akbar, and he came, and before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to Miraj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought from the house of Ummi Hani into Hatim. You know, Hatim is that semicircle around the Kaaba. It's supposed to be part of Kaaba. And the Prophet was brought there, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he did open heart surgery on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, open heart surgery, Yaqub Mahdi was the first surgeon to perform open heart surgery in London. But he's about 1400 years too late. Jibreel alayhi salam has already performed open heart surgery on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam four times. How many?
Four.
It's not that the Prophet's valves were blocked. It wasn't because of that. It was for a very special reason. It happened four times to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once when the Prophet was very young, only 2-3 years old. And then when the Prophet was a teenager. And then when the Prophet was blessed with Nubuwwat in the cave of Hira, and then when the Prophet was taken to the heavens, each of these occasions, because children are children, they're mischievous, they're naughty, and they mess around. So Allah didn't want His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even as a small boy, to do the things other naughty children do, so that nobody should say Muhammad is naughty. Nobody ever said that Muhammad was naughty even as a child. Allah wanted the Prophet to be wonderful and perfect even as a child. And then when he grew up, then when children grow up and they become teenagers, they become rebellious and all sorts of thoughts come to their minds and they go through all sorts of emotions. Allah didn't want the Prophet to go through the same emotions. You know, wanna feel high, looking for a buzz, Friday night out. No, the Prophet his teenage was similarly impeccable. So wonderful, so perfect. And then when the Prophet was to be blessed with Nubuwwat, Nubuwwat is no ordinary affair. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Nubuwwat is very high pressure stuff. And it's not easy for a person to receive revelation from Allah. In fact, for many a people, it's not easy to receive any good news either. Bazafa, koi aisi khush khabri aadmi achanak sunta hai ki kaleja phat jata hai. Sometimes people hear good news, and you know when people are ill, they have to be told news, old news, even good news or bad news in a very sensitive way. Because sometimes even bad news can hurt them and they can have a heart failure. Sometimes they can be told a good news and their heart fails out of happiness. So nubuwwat is a very, very high pressure stuff. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah wanted to prepare him to receive those anwarats. Jibreel bringing wahi on Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to feel so heavy experience in severe cold. The Prophet would start sweating. If he was on a camel, the camel under the weight of wahi would sit down. Once the Prophet was resting with his noble head in the lap of someone, his noble head, you know, this is your toughest bone and the biggest muscle in your body. The Prophet was resting in someone's lap and wahi started coming, the Sahabi felt his leg was going to break under the weight of revelation. But Rasulullah would receive it. Allah prepared him. Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wada'na anka wizrak alladhi anqada dhahrak. Allah said, I made it all easy for you. Things which were going to, you felt they were going to break your back. But Allah says, I made it easy. And then for the Prophet to go to the heavens. Wow, mashallah, journey of a lifetime. People go on a holiday. Nowadays, people go to Dubai. Half term, Easter, summer, everybody's going to Dubai. Have a nice time. Islamic parks. Islamic parks and others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through very difficult time in though. When people are going through tough time, there's pressure, tension, people go on a holiday. After the death of someone, depression, people become depressed. Rasulullah never became depressed, but he was going through a very difficult time. He'd been a Nabi for 10 years, been preaching and teaching, and people had been rejecting him. And then for 3 years, it was like almost like being in prison. The Prophet wasn't imprisoned, but the people of Makkah had got together and they'd signed an agreement and they hung it on the Kaaba, telling all the people to refrain from Muslims, not to sell them any food, not to have anything to do with them, total social boycott. And 3 long hard years the Prophet ﷺ went through. Then after 3 years, Allah sent an ant, and the ant ate away that agreement and it came to an end. And they were so hard those 3 years. Even the ordinary people in Makkah used to feel ashamed that how can we treat our own relatives and friends in this manner? It's not fair. It's not right. It's against human rights. And Allahu Akbar. But after 3 years, Allah made it easy. The ant ate away the agreement and the Muslims were allowed to come out of that imprisonment or social boycott in Shoaib Abi Talib. Then soon after that, Hazrat Khadija passed away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had loved her very dearly. Although later on he married Aisha as well. And somebody asked the Prophet, "Ayyun nas yahabbu ilayk?" Who is the person you love the most? The Prophet said, Aisha. And the Sahabi says, narration in Bukhari, "Min ar-rijal." Ya Rasulullah, what I meant was from the men. The Prophet said, "Abuha." So Aisha radiallahu anha was the Prophet's favorite wife. And Abu Bakr, from all the men, was the Prophet's favorite companion. And very dear and very close. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, whenever the Prophet would remember Hazrat Khadija, even long after she passed away, it would bring tears to his eyes. And because Hazrat Aisha was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when people are really so close, they become frank. And sometimes they say things to their beloved or friends which other people wouldn't dare say. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had a similar relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would listen to her. In Punjabi Urdu we call it nakhra. And as Aisha radiallahu anha, she enjoyed that nakhra with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one day she said to the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, you haven't forgotten that old woman yet." And the Prophet said, "Oh Aisha, don't talk about her in that way. When people were rejecting me, she accepted me. And when I had nothing, she had so much and she put everything in my service. And then Allah blessed me with children through Khadija. And she is the mother of my children. Allah used to send salam to Hazrat Khadija. Jibreel would bring salam. And Jibreel brought revelation in the house of Hazrat Khadija, ulama say, 400 times. And it was a very, very special place. The Prophet ﷺ enjoyed many years of married life with Hazrat Khadija and Khadija alone. And later on, the Prophet had many wives, but as long as Hazrat Khadija was alive, the Prophet didn't have a second wife. He married other women after Hazrat Khadija passed away. So she was the Prophet's first love, his first wife, and as long as she remained alive, the only wife. And the Prophet's children, except one, his name was Ibrahim, and he was born to Rasulullah through a maidservant, Maria Qibtiya, which the Egyptian king sent as a present for, the Egyptians king sent as a present for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she just passed away after 3 years of struggle. So you can imagine, you know, ask any man, and especially if they have children as well, and not just children but daughters. The Prophet had four daughters. How many?
Four.
Many people nowadays, we're living in strange times, fitan and fasad, on telecommunication channels. And when we came to this country in the 1970s, there used to be three channels, BBC One, BBC Two and ITV. And at night they used to close, and they used to start 10 o'clock in the morning with play school. And then Rainbow. And then in the afternoon about 2 o'clock it was shut down, and it would come on again at 4 o'clock. Nowadays around the clock. And hundreds of channels and Sky channels, and many people sit on these channels. They are special. They call them Ahle Bayt channels. The family of the Prophet. But they claim love for the family of Rasulullah, and they propagate hatred for the family of Rasulullah in reality. And they have the nerve to criticize the companions of Rasulullah and many such people. You know who I'm talking about? Shias. And we are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Who are we? Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. No, not just Ahlu Sunnah, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. People who follow the teachings of Rasulullah as the Prophet taught his companions. And because they were prepared and taught and mashallah trained by Rasulullah. So if there's anything wrong with his sahabi, then the blame will fall on who? On Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet didn't teach him well. The Prophet didn't prepare them well. The Prophet didn't look after them well. And so we are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You can criticize any imam you want, not that you should. It's not a good thing to criticize good people. Especially to have any grudge in your hearts for any pious people. It says, Hadith Qudsi, Man aada li waliyan, whosoever has any grudge in their hearts for anyone among my friends. Hadith Qudsi in Bukhari. Allah says, فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Then let him come. Come, let me sort you out. Come and fight with me. You don't like my friend? Come and fight me. Because in English they say, an enemy of the friend is also an enemy. And a friend of the friend is also a friend. So anyone who's a friend with Allah, if a person's got problems with him, then he's got a problem with Allah. But if you've got a problem with somebody, that's your problem. But don't have any problem with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they were trained by Rasulullah. So we are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And these people, they call themselves Shia. So they have a different name to themselves. And they sit and they criticize the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they think that the Prophet had only one daughter because she was married to Hazrat Ali. But in the Quran, Allah talks about daughters of Rasulullah. Your iman, my iman, should be on the daughters of Rasulullah, because Allah has made reference in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajika wa banatika. And the word used by Allah is banat. Banat in Arabic is fitting for at least three. If the Prophet would have had only Fatima, Allah would have said, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبِنْتِكَ. If the Prophet would have had two daughters, Allah would have said, وَبِنْتَيْكَ. But Allah says, Banat. And Banat in Arabic is fitting for at least three. So we are required to believe that the Prophet had at least three. But we know he had four. Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, was sleeping in Hatim. He was taken from there. Jibreel alayhi salam had brought a horse, and before that, he had done open heart surgery on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to unblock any valves, but to fill the Prophet's heart with nur and wisdom and complete and great iman. So the journey the Prophet was going to go upon, it won't affect the Prophet so much so that the Prophet would become under shock. He would take it all in his stride, and then it was stitched up. So Sahabas used to notice this stitching on the chest of Rasulullah. In Shama'il, you can read hadith, it says Sahabas said they could witness stitching. You know, like someone's had a bypass operation or something, then they stitch it up, and even after everything is cured, you can still see signs of stitching. Sahaba could see signs of stitching on the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But don't go home and try it on yourself or on your sons. No, that was Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam doing special treatment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam miraculously. Because this was once in a lifetime journey even for Rasulullah. Nobody had ever been in this manner before. Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam had been taken up, and Allah had made a special arrangement to allow Isa alayhi salam to go to the heavens, because Isa alayhi salam didn't have a father. He is the only man after Adam alayhi salam to have been born without a father. He had a mother but no father. When Allah wanted to give Maryam Isa alayhi salam, Allah sent Jibreel, he blew into her and she conceived Isa alayhi salam. So Isa alayhi salam had angel-like properties, personality, because he was born with the blowing of Jibreel. So Isa alayhi salam was very close. Now here we have to be very careful. I'll say it, but this is not what it implies. As though Jibreel alayhi salam had a fatherly personality with Isa alayhi salam, but he wasn't his father. Because Isa alayhi salam was conceived because of the blowing of Jibreel alayhi salam, so his personality transferred into the personality of Isa alayhi salam. And Jibreel is Sayyidul Malaika, lives in the angel, with the angels in the heavens, because Allah wanted to keep Isa alayhi salam in the heavens, like angels, with angels. So Jibreel alayhi salam came and blew into Maryam alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam was conceived, because angels don't have wives and children. So Isa alayhi salam, before his ascension, didn't marry, didn't have children. And because angels don't need a house as well, so Isa alayhi salam didn't have a house, he would just roam around. And mashallah, lived a very simple life, very basic life, ajeeb life, and which ordinary people can't live, and which Christians can't live either. But when Isa al-Islam will come back, then he will get married, have children as well. But Isa al-Islam was born specially for this purpose, so he went up. But Rasulullah had to be prepared, and Allah and Jibreel al-Islam came into the service of Rasulullah, then took him up. But before taking him up, Jibreel alayhi salam took him to Masjid Aqsa. And this was the first part. Subhanalladhi yasra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. And in Masjid Aqsa, on route to Masjid Aqsa, the Prophet was shown many, many good things, many strange things. And he was shown the effect of a'mal. What people do when they lie, when they deceive someone, when they eat unlawful, when they behave unlawfully, their effects, the effect of deeds of people. And en route, and the Prophet ﷺ also passed over the grave of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet said, I saw Musa, qa'imun, this is a sahih hadith in Muslim, the Prophet said, qa'imun yusalli fi qabrihi, Musa alayhi salam was standing and he was praying in his grave. So who says prayers? Do aadmi zinda hota hai jo murda hota hai? Who says prayer? Someone alive or someone dead? So if Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet, I'm not saying, who said? Rasulullah said, Sahih hadith in Muslim, the Prophet said, I saw Musa, he was standing and praying in his grave. So if Musa alayhi salam was standing and praying in his grave, was he alive or was he dead? So if he was alive in his grave, so what about Rasulullah after his death? Will he be alive or will he be dead in his grave? Every prophet, every person has to taste of death. That is undeniable, unquestionable. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُ مَيِّتُونَ Allah said to his beloved prophet, you also have to die like everyone has to die. Anybody who believes Rasulullah did not die, that's not right. Allah says in the Quran, the prophet has to die. So the prophet did die. But having died, then the prophets were given special life after their death. Just as shaheeds, when someone chops their neck, does he die or does he remain alive? Does any shaheed just walk around with his headless, like headless chicken? No, once his head is chopped off or he's shot, he dies. People pray janazah, they bury them. But once they are buried, Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ Someone who's been killed in my path, Allah says, don't say he's dead. In other verse, Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا Don't even think they are dead. So if a shaheed whose darja status is much lower than a prophet, then if they are alive, when Allah says, don't even think they are dead, what about Rasuls? The prophets are dead or alive in their graves? They are alive in their graves. The Prophet has said in a hadith, reported by Imam Bayhaqi, Al-Anbiya'u ahya'un fi quburihim yusallun. Prophets are alive in their graves. A lot of people have a lot of problems these days with a lot of issues. And this is one of the issues many people think the Prophet is dead. And he in his qabr is like a rock. And he has no sense, no feeling whatsoever. And he's dead. That's not aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That wasn't the aqidah of Sahaba either. That wasn't the aqidah of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha either. This has been the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The prophets are alive in their graves. And the Prophet said, Inna Allaha harrama ala al-ardi an ta'kula ajsad al-anbiya. Allah has made it haram for the earth to decay the bodies of prophets. Prophets, because they enjoy praying salah. The Prophet said, Qurratu ayni fi salah. The thing I love most is praying salah. And in this world, everybody is obliged to fulfill Allah's commands. Yahan jo hum Allah Taala ki ahkamat pura karte hain, niwaz padte hain, to kyun hum mukallif hain? We are obliged, we are ordered. But in the grave, that's not obligation. That's a reward from Allah. Wo Allah Taala ki taraf se nabiyon par rahmat hoti, inaam hota hai. Allah allows them to do what pleases them the most, what they enjoy the most. Just as Musa alayhi salam was praying in his grave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and other prophets, the Prophet said, Al-anbiya'u ahya'un fi quburihim yusallun. All prophets, whenever they feel, they pray in their qabr. So Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet saw him. Hazur ne jo dekha, sahi dekha, galat dekha. Now, when the Prophet saw Musa alayhi salam standing and praying, that means Musa alayhi salam was alive. And if he's alive, we can only assume the Prophet's life is even superior than the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam reached Masjid Al-Aqsa. All the prophets were already gathered there. It's like when you have a function, then everybody else is invited first. The VIP guest comes first or last?
Last.
Everybody was already there. When Rasulullah arrived, everybody was happy to greet Rasulullah, welcome him. And because the prophets are sent specially, the main duty of all the prophets is, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنُمْ أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ To teach people to worship Allah. And in the worship of Allah, the most important thing is prayer. And this is why all the prophets used to pray to Allah, in dunya and in the qabr. So when the prophets got together, it's like when children, when they love football, when they get together, what do? They play football, even at home and parties, they kick around. You give them a ball and they'll kick about everywhere. When people, mashallah, whatever they enjoy doing together, when they get together, that's what they enjoy. So all the prophets used to love praying. So when they got together, they wanted to
pray.
And what a better opportunity than to pray with Rasulullah, Imam al-Anbiya. So when all the prophets were gathered and Rasulullah came, they all naturally wanted to
pray.
They wanted to pray. So they started praying. And the Jamaat was prepared. And Jibreel alayhi salam did the azan and the iqamah. No one is going to step forward except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when, mashallah, someone says iqamah and azan, iqamah, Mawlana stands forward, says Allahu Akbar, Everybody says Allahu Akbar, then first he recites. What's the first? He recites Sana, and then Fatiha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has given me three things which Allah did not give from His special treasures which Allah did not give anybody before me. Among them, Surah Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, and Surah Inna A'tainaka al-Kawthar. These are three things the Prophet said, Allah has given me from His special treasures. When we think about treasures, we think about gold, diamond, jewelry. But these things have no value in the eyes of Allah. In the eyes of Allah, the most important thing is His Kalam. Allah's word is the most powerful and the most precious. And in Allah's Kalam, these are special gifts of Allah to Rasulullah from His treasures, from where He gave nothing to anybody except Rasulullah. Surah Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, and Inna Atayna. So Surah Fatiha was given to Rasulullah, but not to the previous prophets. The previous prophets didn't have Surah Fatiha. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started praying, he recited Fatiha. The previous prophets didn't. None of them knew Surah Fatiha. So when the prophets prayed behind Rasulullah, was their prayer valid or invalid?
Valid
or invalid? If the prophets can pray their salat behind the imam, not on your own, behind the imam. Bhi agar nabiyon ki namaz baghair fatiha ki ho jati hai aur ho gayi thi, phir hamari nahi hogi imam ke piche. Bhi masla samajh aa raha. Some people think, yeah, there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bi la salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. There is no prayer except with fatiha. Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayhi has written in Tirmizi, liman yusalli wahda. This is for him who prays on his own or prays behind the, or it becomes the imam. There is a book of hadith, it's known as Bukhari. Sabne suna hai na naam to. Generally accepted, the most authentic book after the book of Allah is Bukhari. In Bukhari there is hadith, la salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. There is no prayer except with Surah Fatiha. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi was born in the year 194 after Hijri. But long before him, there was another very saintly man. His name was Imam Malik. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was born in the 80th year after Hijrah. Imam Malik was born in the year 95 after Hijrah. He died in the year 182. 12 years before even Imam Bukhari was born. And even before Imam Bukhari, there was another great Imam. His name was Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. And Imam Shafi said, that asahul kutubi ba'da kitab illa muwatta Imam Malik. And this is given in Shamsuddin Zahbi rahimahullah's work, Tazkiratul Huffaz. Imam Shafi said the most authentic book, this is even before Imam Bukhari was born, is Muwatta of Imam Malik. And Muwatta of Imam Malik was given this name when Imam Bukhari wrote his work. He put down whatever he wanted. He was very careful. He was very choosy about the hadiths he presented, yes. But it was still his choice. Allah didn't send Jibreel to inspire Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari, because of his taqwa, piety, iman, he was very careful what he chose indeed. But still his choice, not Allah's choice or Rasulullah's choice, his choice. But Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayhi, when he wrote his work and he compiled it, he didn't just start teaching it, he presented it to the ulama of the time in Medina and he said, look, this is what I've done. Can you give your opinions regarding this? And all the grand scholars of Medina approved every hadith in Muwatta Imam Malik, with the exception of two. They had some concerns, but this is why Imam Shafi Ramahullah used to say, the most authentic book after the book of Allah is Muwatta Imam Malik. In Muwatta Imam Malik has presented a hadith from Jabir bin Abdullah. And Imam Shamsuddin Zabi has stated that he was the Mufti in Medina for almost 70 years after Rasulullah, in the presence of prominent companions. Bi usmu, ek to yena mufti min al muft. You know, a man who's got no right, he's given fatwas left, right, and center, no authority, no education, like many. Brother, what's your opinion? Brother, I think, what the hell are you, man? Who gives you the right to say what you think? And we haven't got the right to say what we think. Deen isn't what you think. Deen is what Allah gave Rasulullah. Rasulullah taught his companions and was passed on like this from the top downwards. Not what anybody thinks. Brother, what do you think? No, brother. You've got no right to say what you think. What you think may be right, may be wrong. But someone who used to give his opinion in the presence of the Sahaba, and the Prophet gave him a dua. Allama Shamsuddin Zabiya said in Tazkiratul Hufaz, one day Rasulullah gave him dua 25 times. Jiske liye Hazur ne 25 dafa dua di ho, to wo koi aam mufti hoga. Aur Sahaba ke zamane ka mufti koi aam mufti hoga. A mufti from the times of Sahaba. When Abu Bakr was there, when as Umar was there, Usman was there, as Ali was there, Abdullah bin Umar was there, as Aisha was there, all these prominent Sahaba was there. Jabir bin Abdullah was one of the muftis of Medina for 60 years almost, or 70 years. And he's brought a narration in Muatta Imam Malik, the most authentic book after the Book of Allah, according to Imam Shafi. Man salla raka'atan, whosoever prays one rakat, وَلَمْ يُسَلِّ فِيهَا بِأُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ, and he doesn't recite Surah Fatiha, فَلَمْ يُسَلِّ, اس کی نماز نہیں ہوئی, he hasn't prayed, إِلَّا وَرَاءَ الْإِمَامِ, except behind an imam. So if the prophets can pray behind the imam and not recite Fatiha and their prayer is valid, Sahaba used to recite prayer behind the imam, not on your own. If anybody prays on his own and doesn't recite Fatiha, the prayer is simply not valid. But when you pray behind the imam, some ulama are of the opinion you should pray. Well, if that's their opinion, they can, you know, we won't stop them. But if people say, nahin hui, your prayer is not valid. Well, you think nahin hui, the Prophet didn't say that. Agar nabiyon ki ho jati hai imam ke piche fateh ke baghair, sahaba ki ho jati hai, to phir hamari nahin hoti. Phir hamari bhi ho jati hai. It's qabla qabool, and it is the sunnat of sahaba, sunnat of all the prophets. When you pray behind the imam recites Fatiha, you just keep quiet. If anybody wants to recite, we won't stop him. That's his opinion. But if anybody says it's not valid, then I'm sorry, brothers, that's not what's the evidence in the Quran and authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From there he was, and when the prophets were lined up, jab class shuru hoti hai to pehle hazri bhi lagti hai ke nahi, hazri lagti hai na, when the class, when everybody is there, attendance is taken, you got to clock in. When you go to work, clock in, clock out. So when all the prophets were gathered there, and they were all real prophets, they were all, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was a real prophet, he was there, Nuh alayhi salam was there, Ibrahim alayhi salam was there, Ismail alayhi salam was there, Yaqub alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam. Was Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani there? Because he wasn't a real prophet, he was an imposter, he was a liar. He was a fraudster, so he wasn't in that line. That night when all the prophets were there, they had the honor to pray behind Rasulullah. He wasn't there. Why wasn't he there? Because he was bunking, he wasn't supposed to be there. Had he been a prophet, then he would have been there. But he wasn't a prophet, so he wasn't there. And so anybody who now says, Mirza Masih Maud alayhi salam, not alayhi salam, lanatullahi alayhi. So next time you hear Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani, you follow it up with lanatullahi alayhi. Anyway, then Jibreel, it says in hadith, then a ladder was presented and the Prophet ﷺ was taken up, and Allahu Akbar, first heaven, second heaven, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and then all sorts of people have all sorts of problems these days, and one of the problems which many people have is the fact that many people in many circles, they argue, did the Prophet see Allah or did the Prophet not see Allah? Have you heard that discussion? Some people say the Prophet saw Allah, some people say the Prophet didn't see Allah. And say because, and the evidence presented is from Quran, the Leel, Musa alayhi salam wanted to see Allah. Because Musa alayhi salam used to talk to Allah. So if we can delay, I'll just explain this issue, then we'll end it. But inshallah, if salat is delayed a few minutes, I hope you don't mind. Yeah? You know, when people are in love with someone, nowadays people text endlessly, endlessly text and phone, and when, mashallah, when you are with your beloved, you want to talk to them, and not just talk to them, you want to be with them, you want to hold them, you want to be with them, mashallah, and so on. Nobody loves Allah. Even all believers, Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. All believers love Allah profusely. And no one can love Allah more than a prophet. And Musa alayhi salam wasn't an ordinary prophet. He was one of the grand prophets. Allah mentions about Musa alayhi salam as أُلُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, one of the mighty messengers of Allah. And Musa alayhi salam, Allah says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Musa alayhi salam used to go to Tur and talk to Allah. And talking to Allah, with the love that Musa alayhi salam had for Allah, one day he couldn't resist. It's like when someone is loved, you've been talking endlessly, and then he said, can't we meet up somewhere? So Musa alayhi salam said to Allah, Ya Allah, Rabbi arini anzuri ilayk. Ya Allah, I want to see you, Ya Allah. Allah said, oh Musa, lan tarani, you can never see me. Where did Musa alayhi salam say this? On Tur. Where? And where is Tur? In this world or in the heavens?
In this world.
In this world. Musa alayhi salam wanted to see Allah where? On Tur, in this world. Allah said, oh Musa, you can't see me here. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, please, just one glimpse. Just once. Allah said, all right. What I will do, I will put my tajalli. Tajalli means a special focus of Allah's rahmat upon something. Allah said, I'll put my tajalli, my focus on this rock, on this mountain. And if it can withstand it, that means you can handle it as well. So Musa alayhi salam agreed. Allah started focusing his tajalli. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلْ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّمْ وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَائِقًا. One of our mashayikh, one of my elders and one of my friends, he went to Tur, and Tur at the moment now, it's like, it's black dust. When Allah subhanahu was a rock, a very heavy rock, and the Prophet said there are two mountains, there are two rivers in this world which are rivers from Jannah. One is the Nile and the other is Euphrates. And there are two mountains in this world, they are mountains of Jannah. One is Uhud and one is Tur. And that mountain of Jannah, even under the tajalli of Allah, then crumbled into dust. And Musa alayhi salam fell back unconscious. And when he regained consciousness, he said, Subhanaka tubtu ilayk. Ya Allah, I'm sorry. I won't make this request again. Wa ana awwalul mu'mineen. And I am the first of the believers. That was Musa alayhi salam requesting to see Allah where? In this dunya. But the vision of Allah is haqq. Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah again. The Mu'tazila, a deviant sect, they don't acknowledge that people will see Allah. We, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe we will see Allah, inshaAllah. If we get to Jannah, may Allah take us all there. Ameen. This is the reason for Miraj. Allah wanted to show Rasulullah everything. Because it's like if you do a deal and you haven't seen something, you know, promise many people, subhanAllah, you know, they promise a lot of things, but they don't deliver. Allah delivers everything Allah promises, but even then, Allah chose His beloved Prophet on our behalf. You come and see what I'm going to give them. So on this night, Rasulullah went, he saw Jannah, he saw the heavens, he saw the angels, he saw much. Allah says, أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَىٰ مَا يَرَىٰ. You argue about what he saw, you argue about what Allah told him. فَأَوْحَىٰ إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَىٰ. Allah revealed upon His Prophet whatever Allah was going to reveal. And the Prophet saw so much. He saw everything Allah wanted to show him. And the vision of Allah is haqq. Vision of Allah is, everybody will see Allah. But where? In Jannah. So if everybody is going to see Allah in Jannah, we can dream about Jannah, but we can't see Jannah in this world. We will see Jannah once we die and Allah takes us there. But Rasulullah has already seen Jannah before. That's why Allah took him up there. And the ultimate experience in Jannah will be vision of Allah. Allah mentioned in the Quran, وُجُوهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in Sahih Hadith reported by Imam Bukhari, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمَرِ. You will see your Lord. It was the night of the full moon. Night of the... And people used to see, mashallah, full moon in Madinatul Munawwara. They still do. We can't see much. We can't even see sun many of the times. And let alone the first of Ramadan. Big problem. But it was not. And the Prophet looked up and he saw the full moon. And he said to the Sahaba, you will see your Lord like you see the moon, shining brightly and full. So everybody will see. When people will get to Jannah, the last thing Allah will offer people is his vision, his own personal meeting. And before that, Allah will say, أَحْلَلْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِ. Today I am pleased with you. I will never be angry with you. That Allah will give to all the people in Jannah at the end. Allah gave it to Sahaba in dunya. Radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. So what Allah is going to give everybody right at the end, Allah gave Sahaba in this dunya. So what Allah is going to give everybody in the akhirat at the end, if the Prophet has to wait as well, it doesn't seem fitting. And you know what? In any case, there are two types of guests. One is an uninvited guest. If somebody comes to your house and you're busy gardening, doing some last minute accounts or whatever, or homework, somebody comes to your house and rings, and then the father says, son, go and tell him I'm not home. So the son comes and says, my dad says he's not home. Sometimes you can, if somebody comes to you, you can say, brother, intercom, yes, brother, can I help? Oh, brother, Abdullah, it's me. Brother, nice of you to come by, but I'm sorry, I'm really busy today. Come back tomorrow. Uninvited guest, no problem. You might have been busy, no problem. But if there is somebody very special and you send him invitation, brother, come, and you send your son or your servant in your car, and brother, go and pick him up. And then you tell your wife as well, prepare some nice biryani, pakoda, samosas, bhajiya, whatever. And then you inviting someone specially. You send someone to pick him up as well. And then he comes to your house. And then you make him sit in the front room. And you yourself sit in the back room. And you talk over the intercom. Brother, did you enjoy the food? Is that fitting? If someone you've invited specially and send someone to pick him up, sent a special ride, special car, the Buraq. Allah sent Jibreel. Jibreel, go and bring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he came up, all the way up. And then Jibreel said, Ya Rasulullah, after this, I can't put a step forward. If I put a step forward, I'm done. My wings will burn. I can't go any further. From now on, from here onwards, Ya Rasulullah, you're on your own. Allahu Akbar. And then the Prophet goes, and then if having come so close, if the Prophet wasn't to meet Allah, put yourself in that. Just imagine, is that fitting?
No.
The Prophet hasn't come. Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah, Ya Allah, I want to see you. And where? In this world. Where is Rasulullah in the night of Miraj? On top of the seventh heaven. And has he gone on his own? Has he bought a ticket by British Airways? No. Allah sent Buraq to pick up Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the way up and bring him. And then if Allah just, okay, Muhammad, when you go home tomorrow, tell your people to pray, start praying 50 times a day. Is that a suitable conversation? No. Then then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ulama have stated, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah, then it's no problem. Everybody is going to see Allah anyway, but where? In Jannah. And where was Rasulullah this night? He was already in the heavens. So if that meeting took place, which highly likely it did, then no problem. If somebody doesn't want to believe, no problem. It's up to him. But if he says, if people who believe that Rasulullah saw Allah is shirk, how can it be shirk? If something is shirk, then it's shirk now. It will remain shirk. If someone worships an idol here, and then worships an idol somewhere else, it's shirk wherever. And but if somebody is going to see Rasulullah, everybody is going to see Allah in Jannah. If Rasulullah saw Allah, no big problem. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, when Rasulullah came back, and the Prophet said, oh, this is what I did. Last night I went to Masjid Haram, Masjid Aqsa, beyond everybody. And Abu Jahl, so this is a good opportunity for me to separate Abu Bakr, to pull Abu Bakr away from Rasulullah. He came to Abu Bakr and said, Abu Bakr, I've got news for you. I have a problem. I have a question. Can anyone go from Masjid Haram to Masjid Aqsa and then beyond and then come back all in one night? Of course not. That's it. Your friend, he says he's been. That's what he did last night. He went up and he came back all last night. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't question, did he really say that? No. Abu Bakr said, if he says he's been, he's been. And that was the day Abu Bakr got the title As-Siddiq. As-Siddiq. Before Abu Bakr was Abu Bakr. But to then confirm Rasulullah, if he said he's been, then he's been. If Adam alayhi salam can be there and come down, Isa can go up and stay up, then why can't Rasulullah go up? It's a big problem for many educated people these days. And they say, how can anyone go to the heaven? Well, the Prophet didn't go. Allah took him up. Allah sent Jibreel to pick Rasulullah up. Allah sent a Burak. Burak, Jibreel brought him. Allah then put a special lift. And Basha'Allah, the Prophet went up and he came down. Allah took him up. So if Allah takes him up, Allah took Isa alayhi salam up. Adam alayhi salam was up and he came down. No problem. So if Rasulullah goes up, what's the big problem? Rasulullah says, Abu Bakr is the only man I presented Islam to, and Abu Bakr did not hesitate even for a moment. Whatever Rasulullah said, Abu Bakr instantly endorsed it. Yep, if Rasulullah says he's done this, he is that. If he says he's been. Whatever Rasulullah says, Allahu Akbar. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone done me any favor, I've settled everybody's account except Abu Bakr. Allah will settle his personally on the day of Qiyamah. Abu Bakr is with the Prophet. He was with the Prophet. He was with the Prophet in the cave. He is with the Prophet in the grave. He will rise with the Prophet with Umar radiallahu anhu. He will be with the Prophet on the pond and then beyond for eternity, whether it burns anyone. And if it burns, then let it burn even more. If it burns them, let them burn. Abu Bakr is the Prophet's companion in such a manner. No one ever was so close to Rasulullah as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was. May Allah grant us his love. Love for his companions, love for his family. May Allah keep us on Islam as long as we live. So that when we leave this world, may Allah take us away on Iman. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad.
JazakAllah for enlightening us on many aspects of our deen, inshallah, and regarding some of the beliefs that we should have. Inshallah, we can take a lesson from this night of Mi'raj, as mentioned before as well, it's not a night of celebration, but to remember the journey of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take lessons from this, as we have discussed in this interview. Inshallah, Isha Azan will be given, and this will be given for sunnahs, and then after that, the Jamaat will take this. Inshallah, after the